Let's just quickly pray and then let's just dive into this passage. Our Lord God, we just ask that you open up your word again for us, fresh and anew. Lord, help us to see you working constantly in our lives and through the word. May it challenge us, may it renew us, may it convict us of your love and your grace for each and every one of us. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Now, we are in our preparation for Easter. We're moving into that space and moving towards Easter at a, you know, at not at a glacial pace, but I reckon at a very fast pace. How many people feel like Easter's rushing up to them? I'm pretty sure both Paul and I feel like it's really rushed up this time. But yes, we're moving towards Easter. And today what I would like to do is to kind of explore this passage that we have from a slightly different angle. I want to explore it from the lens of misunderstanding. But I want to kind of ask you this question. Have you ever been misunderstood?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, there's a couple of, yes, and all the time. Did you hear the one all the time? Have you ever said something? Let me kind of put it this way. Have you ever said something and the other person has completely taken it the wrong way? Yeah. Exactly like that. Yep. Thank you. Have you ever been, here's one, have you ever been joking and the other person just didn't understand the joke and took offence to it? Yeah. You can kind of go, you're going, oh, yeah, this is sounding true, isn't it? Or maybe you've done something nice. Well, what you thought nice, and the other person completely misunderstood you. You might have been doing a simple act of kindness to them and they took offence and said, how dare you do that for me? You know, there's misunderstanding, not just in words, but in actions as well. You know, misunderstood. Misunderstandings, let me say this, happen all the time. They happen for a variety of reasons. It could be that you maybe not have spoken as clearly as you had thought. You might have used implicit communication rather than explicit communication. So in other words, you thought the person knew what you were talking about rather than actually telling them what you were talking about. And so there's this miscommunication that happens. Or maybe this misunderstanding happened because you made an assumption that the person was on the same kind of wavelength, kind of idea, or had the same kind of heritage or understanding about things. We often do this when we travel to other countries, is we bring our own understandings of things and we bring it into another culture and we wonder why it doesn't gel, it doesn't work. There's that assumptions that we have that people are just like us. What's wrong with people being just like us? How dare they be different? Misunderstandings happen when the intent of our actions doesn't always measure up with the action that we do. Have you ever noticed that? We often judge everybody else by their actions. We judge ourselves by our intentions. Have you noticed that happens? And the thing is that, you know, people will go, well, that didn't work. But you're going, but I was trying to do something nice or something good. You know, there's this misunderstanding. Misunderstandings also happen when people have a particular agenda that they are trying to get across or to make happen. And that agenda is not shared by everybody else. I think all we need to do is look at our news cycles for that particular thing, that there is competing agendas around the place. Issues arise when we may have done something or said something that has been most misunderstood, you know, and things compound because of that. If this happens regularly, we can actually become quite fearful of actually communicating or doing anything nice for anybody or doing something for people. And this, you know, is highlighted by, in recent years by keyboard warriors that will jump on anything that they take offence to, even though it may be clearly out of character or out of nature or just innocent, but they go, oh, this offends me, and jump on it. And so what happens is we become fearful of expressing ourselves, we become fearful of doing anything, because we may actually be misunderstood. Have you ever been afraid to speak out because you might have been misunderstood? Have you ever, this is actually something that, I'll talk about me for a little moment, that happens occasionally, that you, have you ever played in your head the conversation that you wanted to have with somebody? And then it gets to the point where you've played it so many times in so many different scenarios that you end up going, oh, I don't think I'm going to say anything at all. Because you go, I think they're just going to completely misunderstand me. That's the fear of actually telling somebody something, because you have this fear you might actually be misunderstood in that communication. Let me tell you that Jesus himself was misunderstood on so many different occasions, so many different times, through his actions, through his presence, his being, through his words, through his healing actions. So many times people took offense or misunderstood what Jesus' intention and nature was. Those that should have actually understood who Jesus was and what he was doing actually misunderstood him. Those that knew God's will and purpose for the world should have known Jesus as well, and that was a misunderstanding. Jesus was communicating about the kingdom of God, and yet people misunderstood it. Jesus was demonstrating the love of God for all of the world, and yet people misunderstood it. So let's dive into our Bible passage today. It's the reading where Jesus is journeying in towards the cross and journeying into Jerusalem. And today, as we explore this passage from Luke's gospel, and you'll see it's the story of Jesus entering into Jerusalem. And traditionally, we call this Palm Sunday. And if you've ever been in a traditional church, often gets decorated with palm leaves. It often, you know, you might even have the kids talk where, you know, they ride in on something. If you're really kind of there, you might get a donkey and bring it in and, you know, have somebody ride on it. We haven't done any of that today. We wanted you to think differently. We wanted you to think differently around all of this. So Jesus entered into Jerusalem as a sign of his kingship. But yet what happens is that people were thinking this was different to what Jesus was actually doing. His purpose and will was different, and they had a misunderstanding here. The disciples, you know, we could look at this passage from many different perspectives. We could look at the perspective of the disciples, seeing that their anticipation of Jesus being fulfilling the Messiahship, you know, they knew, they even said that, Jesus, you are the Messiah, you're the chosen one. And they spent time, and Jesus was talking with them about what the Messiah was meant to be and meant to do, and yet they still, in this moment, fail to understand. And I'm talking not just the 12, I'm talking the disciples, the crowd that followed Jesus. You know, we know the word disciple is a follower, and they're the people, the crowd that's following Jesus, misunderstood and wanted a different Messiah. Or it might be from the wider group of people who got swept up in what's happening, and just looking for another miracle, another thing to happen. And yet they misunderstood what the purpose was. Maybe it's even from the owner of the donkey's perspective about just giving over the animal and submitting to authority and what that actually means. You could look at it, you know, from the perspective of looking at the praise given and what it means to herald somebody into the city. But what I want you to do, as I'm going to reread it, I'll read it from a different version. It's always good to have some multiple versions coming in. I'll reread it from a different version for you to hear. And what I want you to do is listen to where there might be misunderstandings of how people might have misunderstood the authority, the power, and the nature of Jesus in all of this. And it says this from the NLT. After telling this story, Jesus went on towards Jerusalem, walking ahead of the disciples. And as he came to the town of Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead. "Go into that village over there," he told them. "And as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks why you're untying that colt, just say, 'The Lord needs it.'" So they went and found the colt just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owner asked them, "Why are you untying that colt?" And the disciples simply replied, "The Lord needs it." And so they brought this colt to Jesus, threw their garments over it for him to ride. And as he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of them. And when he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all of the wonderful miracles that they had seen. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, "Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that." And he replied, "If they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers." So you can see that there's a misunderstanding here. The crowd misunderstood Jesus and his purpose. The disciples even misunderstood Jesus' purpose. And they were expecting a king that would overthrow the Romans and free Jerusalem from their rule, you know, or a king that would honour the temple leaders. But we know that Jesus often criticised the religious leaders and went into the temple and overturned the tables and told them that they were a den of thieves. People were expecting this earthly king, somebody more in tune with their own understanding, their own ideals, their own understanding of authority and power, rather than divine authority and power. So the disciples and the crowds here didn't understand that Jesus' path had to lead to the cross to reach the true final destination. They were still expecting something else. But Jesus is on the path to the cross. It wasn't the entry into Jerusalem, it was the cross that marks Jesus' destination here. It represents the reconciliation of all of creation that Jesus was heading towards. What they didn't realize, and what many people today also fail to grasp, is the cross had to happen, it had to exist. And this is what the disciples had yet to actually comprehend for themselves. And what the crowd misunderstood. They believed that God's kingdom would come, would arrive, and through a conquering king, rather than through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. But Jesus had told them, but they hadn't actually understood. Let's go into Luke 9, verse 22, and it says this. The Son of Man, so Jesus is referring to himself here, "The Son of Man must suffer many terrible things," he said, "and he will be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious laws, and he will be killed, and on the third day he will raise from the dead." He's already telling them what he's going to do. He's already telling them what this journey is going towards. And yet even his disciples, having heard that, having heard what it misunderstood his entry into Jerusalem, this misunderstanding of purpose, bringing on their own understanding for themselves. A little bit later in Luke 9, verse 44, it says this, "Listen to me and remember what I say. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of the enemies. He's coming into Jerusalem. He's going to spend that final week there and he will be betrayed." But they didn't get it. They misunderstood Jesus' journey into Jerusalem. They saw him as the king moving into residency to take up the control of that city, of that country, of that nation, to take over. They had preconceived notion of the Messiah, and yet Jesus, even when he was with his disciples and were teaching them what it actually meant for the Messiah to come and bring reconciliation to the whole world, they kept on thinking back in their own way. They weren't grasping that full nature of Jesus' journey that culminated in the cross. The Pharisees misunderstood God's plan for the world made real and through and personal through Jesus, each and every turn of the way. They thought the rules and the regulations and following those were so much more, and they misunderstood what Jesus was doing as he was journeying into Jerusalem. They misunderstood, despite the fact that they should have actually recognized and comprehended who he was. This, they interpreted everything through their traditions and their perspectives, holding a bias that led to their misunderstanding. So they held on to that led to that misunderstanding. And so much so that they told Jesus to instruct all these people that are around him to stop saying what they were saying. Stop proclaiming him as the one journeying in, the Messiah, he who comes in the peace of the Lord. And Jesus actually just turns around and says, even if I did tell them, the stones would cry out, because this is so much bigger than you. This is so much bigger than what you can see here and what this toing and froing and fighting between each other. It's so much bigger than that. It's so much more important than that. But here's the thing for us. And what I want us just to kind of think on for a moment. Often our misunderstandings can blind us to the incredible work that God is doing in our lives. It can blind us to the incredible work that God is doing around the world, because we want to see something. We want to see what we have already predefined or thought is the way, but God is quietly working in a different place and doing a different thing. We may even be misinterpreting God's purpose and forgetting that Jesus came to save the lost. And we think, hey, Jesus just came for the righteous, those who would turn up here. But Jesus came for the lost, for each and every person that is lost. If we're here today going, we're the ones that are won. We're the ones that have got it all, and we are right, we're correct, and everybody else is out of God's presence, then you've misunderstood the purpose of Jesus coming for those who are lost and far from God. See, we misunderstand, and this is what happens so much in the world, is that we believe that we are not lost. We deny the need for Jesus' reconciling love. And so we misunderstand what the church has been saying for many years. We misunderstand God's great love for the world through Jesus Christ, found only in what Jesus has done. So I want to ask you today, are you willing to let go of your preconceptions? Are you willing to let go of the things that are holding you back from accepting Jesus' love for you again and afresh and anew? Are you willing to let Jesus journey beyond just entering into a city, riding on a donkey with palm leaves and shouts? And are you willing to let Jesus die for you for the sins to be forgiven once again? Let's just take that and let's just have a little time of prayer. I'm just going to invite the band up and we'll just have a moment where we pray. And I'll leave it open for you to put in your own words where we have put ourselves, our own bias towards our lives ahead of your purpose, God. So let's just pray. Lord God, we take this moment and we see that you rode into Jerusalem not to be this conquering, powerful king of military might or anything of that nature, but to be humble, to be willing to walk towards the cross, so that we may have forgiveness of our sins. So today, Lord, forgive us when we have put our own understanding, our own bias, our own thoughts ahead of yours. Forgive us, Lord, when we have misunderstood because of not willing to listen, of not willing to heed what you are saying into our lives. Forgive us, Lord, when our actions have not measured up. Not measured up to your will, your purpose for our lives. Lord, we ask that you hear our prayers. You hear our prayers today, and we ask for your forgiveness, your grace, your love, your mercy, known that is beyond all measure, beyond all bounds, that drew you to that cross, led you into Jerusalem, and led you beyond to Calvary. Lord, may we receive your love, your forgiveness, and your grace upon our lives, afresh and new. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.